College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Wake Forest head coach Steve Forbes. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year, and also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein, that's John, J-O-N, and a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now, and I want to let you know today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list, drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. And now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, I mentioned in a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by Wake Forest head coach Steve Forbes. He was tabbed by the Demon Deacons last week after an incredible five-year run at East Tennessee State. And when you think about Steve Forbes, in a lot of ways, this is an American success story. This is somebody who started in junior college and then moved on to Division I and had great success as an assistant coach at Tennessee under Bruce Pearl. Went to an Elite Eight as a Tennessee assistant. Then obviously had to leave Tennessee when Bruce Pearl was fired by the university in 2011. Reinvented himself again as a junior college head coach at Northwest Florida State and then grinded as an assistant at Wichita State under Greg Marshall and then the last 5 years at East Tennessee State. And now, for the first time, he is a head coach in a power conference. How will Steve Forbes attack the Wake Forest job? And what are his thoughts just 7 years after being a junior college head coach, now being a head coach in what is normally pound for pound, inch for inch, the best conference there is in college basketball? We'll ask Steve Forbes, the head coach of Wake Forest, coming up next on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Before we talk to Wake Forest Steve Forbes, I want to tell you about Harry's Razors. How's your hair doing? I know the feeling. Luckily, as a College Hoops fan, I always have a team cap nearby to cover what's happening up top. Problem solved. But what about my facial hair? Even in times of social distancing, I like to keep a clean shave. And thanks to Harry's, I have that covered. The smooth shave I get from my Harry's razor is next level and keeps me looking my best every morning. If you haven't tried it yet, you really should. Just go to harrys.com/hoops and get a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. You'll be impressed with their lineup. Their factory has been honing precision blades for over a century, so you get high-quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 each. And get this, to help those who need it most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of my show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/hoops. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/hoops to start shaving better today. Wake Forest hired a new head basketball coach last week, tabbing Steve Forbes from East Tennessee State, and the aforementioned head coach now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And coach, how would you describe the last couple of days since you got the job?
Well, John, it's been a lot of fun, but it's been very frantic. You know, a week ago on Sunday, I was getting ready to watch the Jordan special, and I got a phone call from John Curry, the AD at here at Wake Forest to talk to me about the job. And about 4 days later, I was the head coach of Wake Forest. I was sitting in my chair chilling. You know, we had finished recruiting and about to finish the schedule at ETSU. And 4 days later, I'm a head coach in the ACC. So it's been a very fast-paced process.
Now, anytime you're taking over a new program, it's obviously a laundry list waiting for you at the door. But the biggest thing, and you mentioned this at your press conference, is having an opportunity to connect with the people that are already in the program. How much harder is that to do when you're dealing with circumstances like we are right now in the world with this pandemic?
Well, John, it's extremely difficult, and it's unprecedented. You know, no, I don't think any coach has ever had to go through that as far as, you know, taking a new job and trying to reach out to his, not only his former players, but his current players. I mean, there's no face-to-face really contact. It's all by computer and by phone, which is, you know, not very personal. And, you know, I'm a relationship coach, and, you know, I need to be able to sit in front of somebody and they need to see the passion that I have for my job at Wake Forest. So it's difficult, you know, and when you take over a job, you know, you get to meet with the players face to face. You get to go to lunch with them. You get to talk to them in the office. You get to work them out. You know, you start to develop a relationship, and you can't do any of that. And so, you know, I didn't realize you could be exhausted and tired from talking, but I think I'm at that point. That's about all you can do.
Now, you know, you had mentioned John Curry, your athletic director here, a couple of times already in the first couple of minutes of this conversation. He's the head man right now at Wake Forest, but you guys had a relationship dating back to when you both worked at Tennessee. How was the dynamic between the two of you when you were with the Volunteers?
Oh, we had a great working relationship. You know, John was the senior administrator for men's basketball. So, you know, when I first went there, I worked hand in hand with John, you know, not on a daily basis, but, you know, I would see him quite often, and, you know, we had a good, strong relationship. And then John left to be the AD at Kansas State, and, you know, he did great things out there, but we stayed in contact with each other, and John would reach out to me, and I would occasionally to him, and, you know, and we kind of supported each other through the way, and, after big wins, he'd text me, you know, every once in a while, and I'd hit him up. And so, you know, we've remained, you know, pretty close throughout this, you know, all this time between Tennessee and now.
Now, I'm always curious to know what these first conversations are like when a prospective athletic director is calling somebody he knows about a job that's open. Take us inside the dialogue between Steve Forbes and John Curry last week when he called to talk to you about being the head coach of Wake Forest.
Well, you know, obviously, John, you know, the day before, you know, they had released Danny Manning from his job. And of course, I mean, I love Danny Manning. I think he's a really good guy, a really good coach. And so I really wasn't, you know, I kind of had a feeling maybe John would call, you know. A lot of times these things go, as you know, from search firm to agent, you know, and then to coach. And there was a little bit of that. But then, you know, like you said, Sunday night at 9 o'clock, we spoke. And it was interesting. It was very, very casual, very comfortable. We laughed, kind of had a few giggles about, not about the situation, but about some, you know, just things in the past that we had experienced. And it was really comfortable. And he just basically talked to me about the job and basically said that on Monday there'd be, you know, an interview. And that the process was very inclusive and very informative. I've been through a couple of these, and it wasn't like that, where, you know, on Monday, John, I spoke to a couple deans, provost, John Curry, a couple of his senior administrators, talked to the dean of admissions on the phone, the dean of student services for academics. And then on Tuesday, I had another Zoom with Tim Duncan, Chris Paul, Mitch Shaw, the president, Dr. Hatch, John Curry, talked to Dave Clawson, football coach. And then I met John Curry face-to-face, Tuesday night in North Carolina. And then it kind of accelerated from there. So there was a lot of information going back and forth, which really helped me.
Wake Forest head coach Steve Forbes joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. You know, there have been pockets of time where Wake Forest has been one of the best programs in the ACC. We saw it in the mid-1990s with Tim Duncan. You saw it in the early 2000s with Chris Paul and Justin Gray and other players as well. What are some things during those years that you want to take and apply to what you're doing right now?
You know, it's interesting. They're different levels, but they have this job has a lot in common with what I took over 5 years ago at East Tennessee State. Same thing, John. Run in the 90s, 4 years in a row, 4 conference championships, 4 trips to the NCAA tournament. Early 2000s, you know, a couple of really good teams. One NCAA tournament team about 2010. Great tradition, passionate fan base. Okay, and it lost its vigor. You know, it lost its spark. And so when I came to ETSU, I knew it was all there. It just had to be lit. It just had to get a spark and get it going. And so that's kind of the same thing here. You know, you're right. I mean, I'm looking at my phone call list here of, you know, Chris Paul, Jeff Teague, Darius Singalia, Josh Howard, James Johnson, John Collins, Al Farouk Aminu, Rodney Rogers, Tim Duncan, and Schmidt. That's pretty impressive, you know. And so we got to reunite everybody. We all got to get on the same page. We got to get the fans excited. And then we got to get some good players, you know. And the best way to get people excited is to win. That's the best marketing tool there is, wins, not T-shirts. You know, not promotions at halftime. It's winning. And so that's what we got to do. We got to get back to having, you know, that swag, you know, when we put that uniform on. And so those are the things I have to work on here immediately.
You know, Steve, you know, you've obviously, you know, worked in so many different places during your life in basketball. You know, you grinded it out in the junior college level. You know, you did a great job at Wichita State under Greg Marshall. And now you have a seat at the table in what is normally the best conference in college basketball. I mean, your first ACC coaches meeting, you're going to be with multiple people who, if they're not already in the Hall of Fame, they're going to be there soon enough. Is it a little surreal when you stop and think about that is now the company that you keep on a year-to-year basis?
Of course it is. You know, I mean, I grew up in Lone Tree, Iowa, you know, a town of about 1,000 people. I graduated with 32 people. There's one stop sign in town on the main drag. You know, and so I go from there, like you just said, to sitting at the table with Hall of Fame coaches. But it's an honor. And if you know, and that's the thing. I mean, that's one of the reasons why you take a job like this, John, is to see what you're all about, to test yourself at the highest level. And you're right. This is the highest level. And this is, you know, like you said, historically the best conference in college basketball. And so, I'm excited for the opportunity. I'm mindful of what it brings. The night before I came down here, Wednesday night, my wife and I were getting into bed about 3 a.m., and she looked at me and she said, "You do realize Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams are in your league." I said, "Oh, gee, thanks. I'll sleep a lot better now." You know, at that first meeting, John, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. Okay, you ready? I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, okay, and I'm going to listen and learn. But it's a great opportunity. Just being around here, this place is unbelievable. Wake Forest is unbelievable. The facilities, the people, the education. There's so many things to sell to young kids that, I mean, I think it's going to be a heck of a ride.
Wake Forest head coach Steve Forbes joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. You know, Steve, you did obviously, you know, a number of things during your years as an assistant coach at a high level. You did it at Wichita State. You did it at Tennessee. And, you know, you never got to a Final Four at Tennessee or Wichita State, but you were awfully close 10 years ago. You lose a heartbreaker to Michigan State in the NCAA tournament. What was the feeling like after that game, being that close to the final weekend?
Oh, it was gut-wrenching. And you just said it, because you never know if you're going to get back there. And I can remember thinking that when we drove, Coach Shea and I, the Final Four was in Indianapolis.
And we went back. That we lost in St. Louis, you know, to Michigan State by 1 or 2 points. We drove back. We flew home, and actually, I didn't. Not explain, but we drove to Indianapolis, you know, that week, and there was those big banners. I think it was West Virginia, Butler, Duke, somebody else, and it was like, oh my gosh, Michigan State. I said, you know, that really could have been us, you know, and you just never know when you're going to get a chance to get back. It was a crazy weekend for me. My father-in-law passed away that weekend. And so I actually drove from St. Louis to Spring Hill, Louisiana after the game. And I had my son with me. He was about 12 at the time. And we were like 2 a.m. We're about 20 minutes from my in-laws, and I hit a deer. And I was like, could this be any worse of a day? You know what I mean? It's like, what else could happen? But it was hard. It was gut-wrenching. I'll tell you what was harder. Maybe my first year when we were playing Ohio State in the Sweet 16 with Odin and Conley, and we were up like 17 at half, and we lose by one. And if we win, we play Memphis to go to the Final Four, and that was a team that we had beaten by about 25, you know, during the season. So those are hard. Those are really hard because it's really hard to get, as you know, it's really hard to get there. And then you got to punch through the door. We just didn't quite get it done.
You know, it's interesting though, because, you know, 12 months later, your tenure at Tennessee would be over because of what happened with the NCAA, and they would start a new regime. And 12 months prior, after the Michigan State game, it felt like the lowest point in the world was losing in the Elite Eight. How ironic is it how perspective changes in a year's time because of the circumstances?
Well, it just goes to show you nobody's bigger than the program. You know, fame is fleeting. And so, you know, you're right. I mean, we went from no school in the history of Tennessee basketball to this day has gone as far as we did to the Elite Eight. And so then 1 year later, you know, we don't have a job. And on March 22nd is my birthday. I was cleaning out my office a year later. And so, yes, it's it just goes to show you that, like I said, nobody's bigger than the program. And which is interesting because 6 years later, on my 50th birthday, we were beating Kansas. And then, I was being named coach at East Tennessee State. So, things can change around pretty quick, too.
You know, another thing, Steve, after that time at Tennessee, you spent 2 years at a junior college, Northwest Florida State, and you weren't a part of the Division I level from a coaching perspective. What was it like for you? Obviously, it was great experience running your own program and being the steward of Northwest Florida State, but to be looking at Division I college basketball from a different lens during those 2 years.
You know, John, I really didn't, though, because you got to remember, I had really good players. And that's one of the things about JUCO that's why I started. And that's how I developed Division I relationships, because people came to recruit my players. And so you got to remember now, I had 20-some, I had like 22 Division I players in 2 years. So I had constant traffic, you know, in my gym, on my phone about my players. So really, truthfully, I maybe was more connected, if that makes sense, because, you know, when you're at Tennessee or, you know, you're an assistant coach, you're just doing your job for Tennessee and you're recruiting, where now I got all these coaches. I mean, I can tell you that my second year, the first night of September, I had Patino, Self, Travis Ford, Scott Drew, Leonard Hamilton, you know, all those guys were in my gym watching my guys work out. And so, really, truthfully, I probably had a stronger connection to Division I, if that makes sense, than really when I did at Tennessee. It just was different. And it was great to run my own program, and do those things. And we won, you know, we were 62-6, went to 2 national championships. And so I wouldn't trade that for anything. I think that was I needed that at that time. And I think it obviously helped me get to where I'm at today.
So you spent 2 years after Northwest Florida State as an assistant under Greg Marshall, had that great team that, you know, only lost one game and also went to the Sweet 16 the next year. What are the biggest things that you learned from Greg Marshall that you implemented when you became a head coach at East Tennessee State?
Well, as you know, I mean, I've worked for four, you know, high-level coaches. I mean, you know, I can go all the way back to working for Porter Moser, you know, at Illinois State. And Porter, you know, eventually coached in the Final Four. I worked for Billy Gillespie at A&M, and we had one of the largest turnarounds in college basketball. He was the Big 12 Coach of the Year. Then I worked for Pearl at Bruce, and he was the SEC Coach of the Year, Tennessee. Then I go work for Greg Marshall, who's the National Coach of the Year this year. And so, Greg just gives you a great blueprint on how to run a program in all aspects. You know, some coaches, and most of us, are good at some things, poor at others, or average. I really think he's high level at everything. Coaching, offense, defense, dealing with media, dealing with people, dealing with donors. He's got a really engaging personality, and he's got a really sharp mind. And so just watching him run the day-to-day operation, really gave me a really good blueprint on how to come here and run this program. You know, Coach Pearl, same thing. I mean, he took Auburn to the Final Four. Amazing, and
right.
Just watching him promote the program. You know, every day Coach got up, he promoted the program, and he was always about Tennessee. And he – system of play that he completely believed in. Same with Billy. And Billy taught, because I was probably first with Billy at that point, Billy taught me many of the things I do today as far as, coaching, on especially defense. And so it was kind of like getting a bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate, if that makes sense, and having the opportunity to work for, three guys who've coached in the Final Four is invaluable and very lucky. I was very fortunate to be able to work for such established and talented coaches.
Well, yeah, an incredible five-year run at East Tennessee State, went to the NCAA tournament. We're going to go again to the NCAA tournament this year. What were the biggest differences in being a head coach at East Tennessee State versus, when you were at Northwest Florida State?
Yeah. John, really not a whole lot. And I was talking about that last night with somebody. Basketball's basketball, And really, truthfully, I run the program pretty much the same. Now, obviously, we got, better players. We got more people to help. In junior college, it's just kind of you and the assistant, and you do everything else. So, there really wasn't a large difference in philosophy. I just had to get in there and figure out how to win, I knew going in that there was five levels to recruiting. There was prep, there was high school, prep school, which would be one level. Junior college is two. Transfers is three. Grad transfers is four. And international is five. And I just really, right. we dabbled in all five levels, And put together a roster and each year put a puzzle together and fit the pieces. And then, a couple times we had a lot of experience returning. We were really good. We were always good, but then there was, we had a 27-year win, and then we had a 30, that was when we had, some really good guys returning. But I tried to stay old and athletic when I was there. I talked to Kermit Davis a lot about that before I got the job. And just being older and being more athletic than everybody in our league, I thought really paid a lot of dividends.
Well, you're definitely going to have to be older and more athletic to win in the ACC. And, part of the biggest thing, which you're dealing with right now, is trying to re-recruit a lot of the players that were in your program when you took over at Wake Forest. One of those young men is Olivier Saar, who has put his name in the transfer portal recently. Is there any update on his status moving forward with the Demon Deacons compared to a couple days ago?
No, I don't think so. I went to, the one thing about trying to recruit your own players is, they're your players, and so you can go see them. And I went to visit with Olivier last night. He's still here in North Carolina. I had a tremendous visit with him, a couple hours with me and my staff. Outstanding young man. Outstanding. Obviously, he's a really good player. I think he has a lot of really good feelings about Wake. It's hard. You lose your coach and you don't know the guy coming in. It's, I can't be there with him every day. And so, I felt good about it leaving, and he's going to obviously have, everybody in the country trying to recruit him. And, you know, we put our best foot forward and we'll continue to do that. And in the end, I just told him, listen, I want you to come back if you want to come back. You know, I don't want anybody to talk you into it. I want you to feel it in your heart that you want to be here. And if you do it, it'll be great, you know. And so I just left it at that. And, you know, obviously a lot of other things, but tremendous young man. And you know, we got several of the players back and this weekend. And so we'll continue to work. It's a difficult situation. You know, it's difficult for those kids. I mean, put yourself in their shoes. I mean, they don't know me, you know, and they can't see me. And so it's it is hard, but we'll figure it out, and we came here to win, and that's our plan. And I've told them that it's not, you know, I can't wait till I get my recruits, or I can't wait till, you know, year two or year three. No, we're trying to win this year. We're trying to do it with these guys, and that's the plan.
Well, final thing, Steve, I know that the goal is to win, and I know you're still trying to be in a situation where you can assemble the pieces, that you have a roster that's in place. Regardless of your personnel, what are the biggest things you want to accomplish in your first year at Wake Forest?
Well, I want to get the passion, the fans back. You know, I think we're really doing that right now, John. You know, get people excited about the program again, get people in the building, filling it up, getting behind the team. You know, and then I want to establish our identity, and that's, you know, play hard, smart together, share the ball on offense, gritty, grimy, tough together on defense, possess every ball with two hands, and do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. And when we, you know, we establish the identity, then the culture will come, and that's what we did at East Tennessee State, and I don't see it any different here, you know. And so that's been the plan, and that's been the message, and that's what we're going to do. It's worked before, and it'll work again.
All right. Well, Steve, you know, congratulations on the gig. Well-deserved. Stay safe during these dangerous times in our world, and, you know, best of luck here as you try to get things going in the right direction at Wake Forest during your first month or two on the job.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on, John. I know this has been hard on you because you can't go to a restaurant. I don't know how you survived, but I'm sure takeout.
It's different times, my man. It's different times.
I'm amazed you're alive, but I'm glad you are. I'm glad you are.
We'd like to thank Wake Forest head coach Steve Forbes for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question is going to come from Devin Bratton. And it's, John, what are your expectations for Penn State next year? Well, you lose Lamar Stevens, who is irreplaceable for Penn State. You lose Mike Watkins as well. Penn State, you know, had an outside chance or a legitimate chance, if depending on the bracket, of being a second weekend team in the NCAA tournament this year. This is obviously not a perennial NCAA tournament contender. I haven't, you know, done a deep dive yet on the Big Ten because, you know, we haven't gone through the NBA draft process yet. To me, Penn State, I think, has a chance to be a middle of the pack team in the Big Ten. The key to that team is Seth Lundy. Seth Lundy has to become one of the great breakout players in the Big Ten next year for Penn State to be a factor again and work their way into the NCAA tournament picture. Our next question comes from Ian Schultz, and it's, John, if no additions are made to Maryland, where do you see them ending up next season as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned? Probably on the bubble. I think, you know, Maryland has some capable guys in the backcourt. You have Eric Ayala, you have Daryl Morsell, you have Aaron Wiggins, but aside from Dante Scott, I don't see a lot in Maryland's front court, and that is why you've seen Maryland be in a situation where they're constantly recruiting graduate transfer big men. They deeply wanted to look at Marcos Santos Silva from VCU to come in and be a starter up front.
He opted to go to Texas Tech. Maryland right now needs to add one more piece of significance on the interior, or else I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle for this team to be in a situation to get back to the NCAA tournament. It's a shame, too, because Maryland had all the requisites to be a team that could have wound up in the Final Four in Atlanta if we had an NCAA tournament, which obviously we had it. Now, our next question, we didn't have it. Now, our next question is, from Greg Kelmanson, is John, will this be the year that Shaka Smart finally puts together a Sweet 16 caliber team at Texas? You know, Greg, they definitely have the requisites for that. I think for Texas, you know, the bar is simple. At minimum, if you're Shaka Smart, you've got to get to the NCAA tournament, win a game, and then I think, you know, be in a situation where you play a really tough game in the round of 32. That, to me, is okay where the bar is set for Texas. The least you can do with the roster you have next year is to be in the round of 32. And here's the interesting thing with Texas. Did they add Greg Brown, the five-star prospect from Austin? Sure they did. But Texas was a better team at the end of the season when players were injured and Shaka Smart didn't have to mix and match as much with his rotation. You've got a lot of guys on that roster and in that program that are going to be expecting major minutes next year. At the end of the year in February, when this team was on a five-game winning streak, I saw rhythm. I saw chemistry. Part of that was because only eight or nine guys were available to put into a game. That might change next year. Would not be surprised to see the Longhorns play a deeper rotation at the start of next season. But again, we'll see what happens with fall practice. A lot of talented players who expect to play in Texas's program right now. Five Good Nuggets is being brought to you this week by Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five Good Nuggets.
Five.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, class of the Atlantic 10. As long as Jordan Goodwin and Hassan French return to school, St. Louis, in my opinion, is the team to beat in the A-10 and a 25-plus win team next year. Remember, St. Louis won 23 games last year before the A-10 tournament, were not fully healthy, and they also won by 16 at Richmond, who a lot of people think is the team to beat next year in the Atlantic 10. Nugget number two, the waiting is the hardest part. On Friday, the NBA officially postponed the draft lottery and the NBA draft combine. The next thing up is the deadline date for underclassmen by the NCAA. That is slated for June 3rd. That is expected to be pushed back. Nugget number three, all not lost in Westwood. UCLA got some tough news last week when Dacian Nix, their five-star prospect who was supposed to come in at point guard, opted to play for the G League select team. UCLA wanted the same ceiling without Dacian Nix, but remember this, at minimum, even if Chris Smith stays in the NBA draft, UCLA at minimum will return four of its top five scorers from a team that was a missed shot away from sharing the Pac-12 regular season title. Nugget number four, Hoya Paranoia. Some big news out of the Big East last week. Omar Yurtseven decided that he's going to stay in the NBA draft, will not return to Georgetown. Without Omar Yurtseven, I expect Georgetown to be picked 9th, 10th, or 11th in the Big East preseason poll. Nugget number five, coast to coast. According to multiple sources, matchups are set for the 2020 Pac-12 coast to coast challenge at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas on December the 19th. Three men's games, Oregon against Baylor, Colorado against TCU, and Washington against Oklahoma. That doesn't include a high-level women's game between Oregon and Baylor. Kudos to the Pac-12 for getting some more quad one opportunities for the teams in their conference. We'd like to thank Wake Forest and Coach Steve Forbes for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Ross. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.